Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 17th of January, recording at 9:31 p.m. and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, let's have a quick look at the highlights here today. In stock markets, while Asia was quiet, the China sector was down a little bit. A couple of the ASEAN indices were as well, but very small percentage moves on them. And most of the rest of Asia was was a little bit firmer. But the better action came from Europe, where markets were up pretty much across the boards. And Switzerland's been on a roll in recent months and up another 1.71 here today. And see the Italian market up 1.43%. That's firm, right up near its highs. CAC also up nearly 1%. The UK up nearly 0.5%. So a good solid performance overall, and I think it was helped by some declining yields by some of the previously, as in last year, troubled borrowers. Governments, that is. And in the Americas, Wall Street was firm. It came off its highs, but we still have gains in the 0.6% range for the main U.S. indices. Similar for Canada and also for Bovespa, that's Brazil, index. Now, in government bonds, we got some weakness in here today and really bordering on some small downward dynamics. The U.S. 10-year Treasury had seen a sort of a little technical rally, no upward dynamics, and say knocked down a point here today. Right from beneath the previous little step to the downside. And that selling pressure was reflected pretty well across the spectrum. U.S. dollar, a little bit easier in here today, although not against the Australian dollar. It's only down 23 cents, though. It's 105.49. And the Europeans beginning to get worried, or the European government officials beginning to get worried about the strength of the euro, which is up to 133.79 here right now. Remember all those people who were telling us that it was going to go down and down and down? And what else to mention? Sterling. Sterling slipped a wee bit, just under, well, hovering right around the 160 level here overall. Now, the precious metals. Well, first metals were firmer pretty well across the board. The industrial metals, which had seen some easing recently, were all a bit firmer. And precious metals were interesting here today. Now, gold, unusually for gold in this environment, had a $30 range today, and I think it was around 130. And the U.S. came out with a statistic that said that I think it was new unemployment claims weren't quite as big as had been anticipated, and gold fell like a stone, fell $13. And dropped down to 1666.90, so nearly 1667. But then it started to climb back steadily and moved all the way back up to 1696, testing an earlier high a couple of months ago, and then settled back about $8 off that high. But it's currently in after-hours trading here. Gold bullion is at just above the 1688 level. And that's up just over $8. And silver's also up a bit in here, not as much. So gold, for the first time in a long time, gold's had the best performance among precious metals today. And that's really quite interesting because platinum made all the running over the last, say, 3 weeks. Palladium has been considerably stronger throughout, but palladium's actually down a tiny bit today. Platinum's up a little bit trading. Well, no, I think that's a late it's an earlier price rather. It's not the after hours trading, so it's hovering around that $1,700 dollar level. So that was a very strong recovery, but today, as I say, gold is showing just that little bit of relative strength within the sector for the first time. So is silver, suggesting that they may continue to move in the same direction that we've seen for platinum and palladium. Now, the I mentioned the industrial metals were firmer across the boards. And crude oil, it's interesting, the spread between the WTI and the Brent has narrowed in. I think it's about $16 here right now. But if you look at the Brent, it's just sideways in a range. And that's been good news, as I've mentioned on a number of occasions, generally, because it's volatility in the energy sector that is unsettling. And let alone spikes to the upside, which fortunately we haven't seen those for a while, and Owen and I are reasonably optimistic that we probably won't see spikes to the upside, or if we do, there'll be lesser moves to the upside than we've seen in the past. And the reason for that, of course, is because of all the fracking developments in the United States, which are expanding generally, so people are less inclined to go rushing into crude oil futures to try to generate or find a rally. And all the renewables that are being produced, pretty much all heavily subsidized, they're eroding that demand for oil just a little bit. And oil's generally high price has led to greater efficiencies in terms of usage. And so this is moving on schedule with our long-term forecast that we were heading towards a future where oil prices might actually move downwards, at least in inflation-adjusted terms, and that remains very much a fuller money forecast. But I'm talking, that's a long-term forecast. I'm talking particularly about in the next decade overall. Now, coming back to today and agricultural commodities, they were a little bit easier here today for the most part. So those consecutive day rallies that we were seeing, albeit off lows, in corn and wheat, well, they've been checked here overall. The continuous commodity index is just flatlining. Owen talked about that, or not about the continuous commodity index, but about commodities in his audio last night. And the really important point that he made there is that, we're not in an environment where we can talk about an across-the-boards bull market in commodity prices or bear market, and they're moving in line with their own respective supply-demand situations. But the whole sector has calmed down relative to the strong upward pressure that we were seeing on occasion in the last decade, and not to mention what we saw in 2007. So, stable background. You know, we look at all this strong performance that we've seen in stock markets at the start of this year. That's certainly a good omen, and I think it's justified. Now we know there's a big tailwind there in terms of quantitative easing, but I would argue that the fundamentals are better pretty well across the boards. And that ranges really from well, I should start with Europe. Still has plenty of problems, but we're no longer hearing the word crisis being thrown all around, and we're no longer hearing about a breakup of the euro. And if Europe just is able to sort of muddle through, hopefully with a little growth starting towards the end of this year and next year, then that will be really a success story, and a dramatic one compared to what people were forecasting. And only 6 months to a year ago. Now, just a two little separate corporate items here. Rio Tinto, Tom Albanese stepped down here today, and the company made a 14 million write down. He had some, let's put it this way, less than inspired takeovers, and I've fretted as a shareholder in Rio Tinto. It's a company that I do like. They sit on a treasure trove of resources, as does BHP. But the management has often seemed a little bit gormless. So they've got a senior iron ore miner who's taken over to run the company right now. So I think it's a positive step. And the share fell like a stone when the news first came out today, but then closed at the high of the day with just a very small decline on the day. To me, something I've said before is that if the China story is real in terms of this recovery that we've seen by the stock market, and I think it is, that China is now gaining strength, and with the consumer sector playing a larger role within the economy, and that's going to be good news generally here for the mining sector. I feel there aren't going to be quite as many exports perhaps from China, but there'll be plenty of building will still be going on within the country. And the other corporate issue, Boeing, and there have been these alarming problems with the new Dreamliner. But Boeing was saying today, and I think evidence prior to today was pointing in this direction, that the problem, or the main problem, I should say, may well be a duff a batch of batteries. Now, the manufacturer of those batteries, and I'm not going to pronounce this correctly, but it's the company is GS, and it looks like Yuasa, but it's spelled Yuasa, and that's been hit hard in the stock market in the last couple of days. Code 6674, if you want to look that up in the chart library. But it produces those batteries. Now, if that has been the problem and they're able to sort that out, then relatively quickly, then Boeing really should be off the hook in terms of potentially huge costs if it was their own problems that had led to the delays, and it would mean that the U.S. reputation for technological breakthroughs and developments would not be tarnished to the same extent as it would if Boeing was severely compromised by these problems. So looking a little bit better for Boeing, I would say overall. And I think that's pretty much it here today. So all the best to all of you.